It's needful to have open services to where we can ask questions or two, one or two questions, to get a satisfaction. I remember being in one of Brother Branham's services years ago, and he called out one of my daughters. As a matter of fact, I remember Cynthia was sitting, thank you, little one, and sitting about like Brother Richard's wife back here in Brother Branham's service. Brother Branham called her out and said, this young lady right here, you're not from here, said you're from the east. And said, you're seeking something from God, said you're seeking the Holy Ghost, said you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, said he's standing right there beside you. And I remember that night, he looked over his shoulder and said, this young lady over here back of you, said, that's your sister, which was, of course, Dale. And said, your dad is a minister, and said he has got a question on his heart. Said he's got a question that he would like to ask me. Well, as he never did know I was in the audience, I wasn't far from both of them. But the anointing never did reveal to him that I was in the audience. But whereas I had been called out by him before when it did reveal that I was in the audience over in Tennessee. But there, I had a question on my heart that I wanted to ask. And a lot of times people have questions that they want to ask. Okay, let's see. Brother George, can you expound on the connection between the meeting with Brother Walden and the meeting in Canada and also Jeffersonville? Yeah, I can do that all right. I don't know how long that would take to do that, but somebody's interested in some present-day truth and revelation, I can tell by that request. What will happen to those who are left here during tribulation? That see after the rapture that they were wrong and seek God then. Will God hear their prayer? Will God's Spirit be with them? I brought out something on that on a tape. I got a tape somewhere where I brought that out. I remember especially having a conversation with some of the brethren, and we went through that and brought that out in a real explicit manner of whether they could be saved or whether they could not be saved. Now, on this about the Brother Walden meeting, maybe we will be able to bring out some revelation as God inspires on this and tie some of these things together right here. But I tell you what we'll do. Now, what we'll do, we'll take the book of Revelation, if you'd like to, and mention a few things here in the book of Revelation and try to form a continuity. Whereas, if I do this, it seems like so many questions that I get has to do with the book of Revelation. All right, now we'll try to form a continuity out of this, and if I make mention of a few things, I won't get very far over into the book of Revelation, and then it'll be time to close. So the next time that we come back, then we'll have to pick up from there and try to work the thing on through, or you won't be able to understand what I'm saying. How do you understand what I'm saying? You know, let me say this. I believe in the wonderful Word of God. I believe in the wonderful wisdom of God. I believe in the revelation of God. I believe in the knowledge of God. I believe in the gifts of God. I believe in the visions of God. I believe in those things. And we've been privileged to have every one of them at one time or another to work in our life. And that's the truth, so help me God. And the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. If I'm lying, I'll have my part in the lake of fire. But as far as I know, truthfully, from my heart, I've been privileged to have every one of them work in my life at one time or another. But here's the thing. I said the other night when we was talking, we can have all the benefits of God, all the blessings of God. It's like I was telling our Brother Walden, Brother Britton, All Britton, as we was talking, I said, Brother, the ministry is going to have to answer to God for one thing. I said, and that is for giving to the people all the time cake and honey, milk and honey, and all the goodies and never feeding them anything in the way of a real solid God meal that can cause them to have a Holy Ghost-filled life to where they will serve God in righteousness. I said the ministry will be responsible for them dying and going to hell while they continually are enjoying the healing and the blessings and the honey and the milk and the good things of God. I said the church can have every bit of that continual and still die and go to hell. I said not any of that will save them. Not any of that. I said, and God is highly displeased with the ministry using it in the way that they have used it. I said, Jesus used those things to get the attention of the church or the people that he might indoctrinate them with holiness and righteousness, that they might live a godly life, and he might use that in a constructive manner to bring them to a real Holy Ghost-filled life, to put the mind of Christ in them, to where they could escape sin and pollution of this world, that it might preserve their souls and life unto eternal life. And I said that was the purpose that he gave it for. And the world and the ministry has commercialized off of it and left out all of the other. And as it was said today, as Gary and I was talking, what good is it for God to work a miracle and heal your body if that body is going to be turned into hell? Is a miracle greater than God's word and greater than God's knowledge? Is it greater than eternal life? Let's just look at it for a minute and see before we read this right here and get into answering the question. Is it greater? If it is greater, then why did Jesus use the terms in approaching the subject like this? It is better to enter into life. Now, he couldn't have meant eternal life. It is better to enter into life, which means this life, halt, lame, blind, or being dismembered. Not having all of your members, it's better to enter into this life that way, that, and then in the end to have eternal life, than it is to enter into this life with all of the members of your body, health and happiness, and then be turned into hell. So then, which is the greatest? To have a healthy body, to have a miraculous body, to work miracles and let people be healed and then turn them into hell, let them be healthy, or let them be dismembered, disfigured, let them suffer, let them be blind, let them be whatever, and then go to heaven, which is better. You say, Brother Pike, why do you say that? Don't you believe God wants people healed? I definitely do. The Bible said the healing is for the children. But I believe that it's been misused. I believe the devil has grabbed it up in a charismatic way to get all the milk and honey and leave God out of it, mind you. I said, leave God out of it. You say, what do you mean leave God out of it? When you leave holiness out of it, you lift God out of it. Because God is the spirit of holiness. To leave God out of it and take it to his own self, that he might use it for his own evil, polluted, degraded way of life. I believe that. I believe that's what Satan has done. So then, I am convinced of one thing, children of God. And that is that we are better off not to have a miracle, not to have a healing, if we can get holiness and righteousness and go on to heaven, than we are to have great miracles and healings and all of the gifts in the church and die and go to hell in a charismatic move. Now, that's my conviction. That might not be yours, but that's the way I chose it in my life years ago. And I still believe in it. I believe it's the best thing. I believe the greatest thing that you can have is God's word, because it don't say in the beginning was a miracle. It says in the beginning was a word. And the word was God, not a miracle was God. But God works miracles. You understand what I'm saying? God is not a miracle. Somebody said God is a miracle. If God wasn't more than a miracle, I wouldn't serve him. He couldn't do very much for me. He said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? If God wasn't more than a miracle, I wouldn't serve him because he couldn't do very much for me. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that three unclean spirits went forth working miracles. That means that they could put gods all over the earth. And God wouldn't be nothing but just something that an unclean spirit made. Somebody say, I love Jesus. God is more than a miracle. God is the word that spoke the world into existence. And what God wants is the greatest miracle you could ever have, and that is the mind of Christ, the mind of God put within a human being that he might overflow with the power of miracles and love and goodness and all of those wonderful things. So like I said, I believe that a man that don't have any signs following his ministry don't have any ministry. And I believe that a minister that follows signs don't have any ministry. I believe that a minister that preaches signs, wonders, and miracles is a false prophet. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I believe a man that preaches the word is sent of God. For the Bible said, he that God sends will speak God's word. A sinful and adulterous generation's got one thing in mind. That signs, wonders, and miracles, and it's sad to say that most of their signs and wonders is on their billboards. All right, but God does work miracles, and God does have healings, and God does do great things, and they should be in the church, and they are in the church, and not only following the minister, but the Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe, people that love God. Like I said about Sister Anna a little bit ago, just out of reading a tract, she received a miracle there just by her faith. This is in the church. It should be in the church. They'll lay hands on the sick. The sick will recover. And the Bible teaches these signs shall follow them. If we live for God, these things will happen. Now, if I don't get on with this, I'll get to preaching. And I was gonna speak here of one or two things. I just want to outline something. First of all, now let's just slow down for just a minute and take our time and look at this. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, the first thing, children of God, that's stated here is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I say this so often. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, why do you talk about the revelation of Jesus Christ? Because that's what the Bible talks about, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he that God sendeth will speak the Bible, the Word of God. So then the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave it unto him. God gave it unto him. The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. Now you follow me, children of God? The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. Unto who? Unto Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ that God, the eternal Spirit, gave unto him. Now, this is the only way that I know to answer the questions. If we go through the book of Revelation here, as it started at the beginning of it, to where I can point out to you what will happen during the tribulation period. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, that is, the eternal Spirit revealed unto the Son of God who he was and what he was, his great place of authority, by saying unto him, Thou, O Son, Thou, O Son of God, ye shall fold them up as a garment and lay them away. All of them shall wax old, but not you. But for thy kingdom and thy ministry and thy priesthood is from everlasting to everlasting. Thou, O Son, you're not like the rest of them. That's what I like about the whole situation. That's what I like about the whole situation. When you say, Thou, O Son, Thou, O Son. You know, I get excited about this thing because I always get inspired when I remember that you and I, that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Thou, O Son. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art, and before the world ever was, you are. You are. We didn't just come to be. We didn't just get here. I'm not just getting here now. I've always been. Always been. Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joy that I had with thee before the world ever was. God, give me your glory. I sat in the tent last night. A lot of people say, oh, I'm so afraid that some man will take the glory of God. Don't be silly. No man's going to take the glory of God because God isn't going to give any man his glory. And you don't have to worry about a son of God taking the glory of God. He's already got the glory of God. Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory that I had with thee before the world ever was. And then he waxed bold and said, I give you that same glory that my Father gave me. I give you the glory of God. Jesus said that. Read it over there in the Bible. He said, I give you my Father's glory. I give you my glory. The same glory. I give it to you. Therefore, he will not give his glory to another, the scripture tells us. But glory to God, we are not another. We are bone of his bone and we are flesh of his flesh. We are not another. We are the sons of God. And thou, O Son, for in time gone by, in the days gone by, it's sundry times and divers manners. God has spoken unto us by the prophets, but hath in this latter times spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. So today, we hear God's voice when the ministry stands up. It is not the ministry speaking. For the Bible said it is God that is speaking from within you. And all of them shall be taught of God, he said. All people are being taught of God. And it shall come to pass that all of them shall be taught of God. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you. And though there's still a fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers set in the church for the perfecting of the saints, yet, my brother, it's more than an evangelist. It's more than a pastor. It's more than a teacher. It is the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is more than a prophet. Look at John the Baptist. The Bible said he was more than a prophet. Isn't that right? Even John was more than a prophet. Think how much more today that we are than a prophet. For the Bible said even he that is least as a member of the body of Jesus Christ, that is, he that has been baptized into the body or translated into the kingdom of God. Even he that is least of the kingdom of God is greater than John. And John was more than a prophet. I have spoken unto you at different times by the prophets. But this day, my very body, my very son, my own body, is going forth speaking the word. I, myself, the tabernacle of God, I am in the midst of the people. Isn't that wonderful? And John saw the revelation. What kind of revelation? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And what was the revelation? Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. The tabernacle of God is among men. What is it today? It can be nothing less than God's own tabernacle. For ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Ye are the tabernacle of God. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, we're not the tabernacle in the wilderness. We're not that. Life is in the tabernacle that's in the wilderness out yonder. Those people that are caught in that intellectual mind from the fall in the garden, there's life back there. They've got the prophets. They've got Moses. They've got the law. For the Bible said all that be fallen from grace are under the law. And if you're under the law, you have to be judged by the law and condemned by the law, for no flesh shall be justified by the law. Isn't that right? They have to die according to the judgments of the law. All of them are in the wilderness of the carnal mind. Life is in the wilderness back there. But oh, my brother, this great, wonderful experience of God that we're having now, this is the tabernacle from heaven. This is God's own body. This is God's temple. You are in the midst of mankind. You are the very sons and daughters of the living God. How is it that you cannot be enthused? How is it that you cannot be stirred? My God, you should be running over. David said, my cup runneth over. The deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God.
Where then is the water spout of God if we are not the water spout of God? For the Bible said, out of your innermost being shall come rivers of living water. And you draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. Where are we going to find, as the brother said back here, an oasis in the desert? My beloved friend, where is it? Where are we going to find the palms of Elam if it isn't with the children of God? Oh, hallelujah. Our cups run over. You understand what I'm saying? I can hear the deep calling into the deep at the water spout of God, and I can hear the answer answering back. You hear a cry saying, oh, watchman, what of the night? And you hear something answering back, all is well because of Calvary. All is well because of Calvary. Hallelujah. I will set watchmen upon thy wall that shall never hold her peace. All right, so then we say, what is it, Brother Pike? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. And what did he give it unto him for? To show it unto his servants. To show it unto his servants. Oh, brother, when I look at this and I see this, I go back to what we said about Paul standing there in the midst of the candlesticks. And you say, Brother Pike, where do you get that Paul stood in the midst of those candlesticks? I still say that Paul made the statement, God chose me to reveal Christ in my life. He said, brethren, you receive me as the Lord himself. Somebody say amen. You receive me as Paul himself. No, no. Oh, my brother, my sister, Paul the beloved said, you receive me as Christ himself. Where then is that kind of reception? What happened to it since I've been gone? So then he said, and God chose me to reveal Christ in my life. And there he was, those church. Paul established those churches over there. Isn't that something about 9 different churches? And here's 7 of them that Paul has taken out. They're taken out over there as the 7 churches that God chooses to represent ages with. And here Paul, Christ, not Paul now. Paul said, it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Isn't that right? And I am bone of his bone. I am flesh of his flesh. So then Christ in the midst of the candlesticks. Paul in the middle of the churches. Oh, when God looked down from heaven, God didn't see Paul in the middle of the candlesticks. God saw Christ, the tabernacle of God among men. And there he stood. Glory to God. Paul, who was he? Resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. You say, how do you see that? As though the sun shined within his strength. What was that sun? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! The great spiritual revelation, Paul said, was made known unto me. Radiating from within, God seeing Christ. That inner life radiating, coming through. That great life coming through, coming through. Brethren, we've been buried with him in baptism. We are also resurrected with him in the newness of life. How is it then? Seeing that we are living and we are alive, how is it that we are not enthused? How is it that we are not burning as the brightness of a candle? Oh, glory to God, my cup runs over. I just think about it and I literally melt. I feel his inspiration so great and mighty in my body till I literally melt as I feel the surge of his spirit as it goes through me and goes through my members. And it's just some joy and some jubilance that's inexpressible. How can we have this? How can we contain this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels? And oh, did we say the unveiling of the masterpiece of God. Oh, glory to God. Paul said, speaking of you, for all of these problems that we have, all of these conflicts that you have, all of the disorders of life that you have, brother, these are not to even be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you. All right, somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. What about that sun shining within his strength? The revelation of Jesus Christ? How can you prove it? God said, and he that has turned many to righteousness, they shall break forth and shine as the brightness of the noonday. Shine as the sun, the brightness of the noonday sun. The sun within their strength. And when the Bible speaks of the woman, it said she stood there, her feet upon the moon. The law and the prophets. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The lesser light. For the lesser light was there. Her feet upon the law, upon the prophets. The foundation. But her head was in the stars. Her head. The mind of Christ, the apostolic teachings, that illuminated mind of Christ, as those stars was upon the head, and that great Spirit of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that motivating, activating illumination within the woman, radiating, coming forth from within her, that great Spirit, the woman in the sun, as though the sun shined within her strength. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that's Christ on the inside of you. But it didn't say that. Brother, it didn't say that. It said it was the woman. It was the woman. It was the woman. There's got to be a change of this body. Paul taught a redemption of the body. He taught a change of the body. Talking about going through tribulation now. There is a change of the body. There is an illumination of the body. There's a conquering of death. Doing away with death. Expelling death to where it can't have any power over this mortal body. Change from mortality to immortality. What then is the privilege of not going through the tribulation? Immortality by change without death. Immortality by change without death. That's the privilege of it. Why should I labor? Isn't that worth laboring for? That ye should not lay down and the skin worms devour your body? Somebody would say, well, they're coming forth in the first resurrection. But Jesus said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Over which the second death hath no power. Which is, of course, the lake of fire. Isn't that right? The soul, having escaped that death, we're free from that. How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, there's one thing for sure. It is Christ within you, the hope of glory. For when the child was born, the woman, it doesn't say that she went away from the glory of God, nor the presence of God. Isn't that right? But it did say there was a place prepared for. Isn't that right? That was a place prepared for. What does it have to do with? It has to do with Calvary. See, this is what we've got to see. Is where does tribulation come in? What does tribulation have to do with? What is tribulation? If we understand, then we know whether or not people will survive in tribulation or whether they have a chance to be saved or not. Where does tribulation come in? This woman with her feet on the moon here over in the 12th chapter. Right at the 11th chapter here, the 10th chapter, the sound of the trumpet. Over there when that angel sets one foot there on the land and sea, declaring time to be no more, and the thunders come forth. And all of a sudden, that 11th chapter, we see the prophets, and then the 12th chapter. And then we see the woman. And then we see the 13th chapter, we see the beast coming up out of the water. But here in the 12th chapter, the woman, where is this? It can't be anything but Calvary. It can't be anything but Calvary. Oh, brother, that's got to be Jesus hanging between heaven and earth. Amen. You say, but Brother Pike, Jesus was a man. But Jesus was made like unto the flesh. And God likens the flesh into a woman. Isn't that right? Amen. The flesh is always likened unto a woman. Jesus in hard travail hanging between heaven and earth. What kind of crown did he have? Doesn't he express his mind through those great apostolic leaders? There's Jesus, the woman, hanging between heaven and earth. John saw it. What was John looking at? Just a few short years later after Calvary, John exiled to the Isle of Patmos, just a little bit off of the Mediterranean Sea. There he was, exiled over there. John, seeing the great and mighty unveiling of what had taken place just a few years back at Calvary. That was the Son of God hanging between heaven and earth. Who was it? The church, the woman, the apostolic leaders there around her, her head, and there the feet, there standing on the foundation of the prophets, the law and the prophets, the lesser light. And there, illuminated with the greater light being the light of the world, there it was. God bringing first the woman. Who? Israel. Israel. There is Israel. In the first dimensional projecting, there was Israel. Israel travailing. What was Israel doing? Israel. Somebody says, but Israel is a man. I know that. But God said he gave a writing of divorcement. How did he do that? If God isn't the male, if that doesn't bring the woman perspective in, how did he do that? How did he do that? What was it? Bringing forth that firstborn. Bringing forth that firstborn. And there is Israel travail. Cried, let his blood be upon us. And as the Son of God came forth, the bowels of the earth groaned. And out from the bowels of the earth came the Son of God. And Israel went away into darkness, and the twilight of sleep, as we said, fell over Israel as they went out of the presence of God. And old brother Paul, looking at the revelation, said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling the world, what will the receiving of the Jew be but life from the dead? Oh, what a revelation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, children, just keep on looking. Keep on looking. If this has got a meaning, then the end of it's going to have a meaning too. And if you understand the meaning of the beginning, you're bound to understand the meaning of the end. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So then there was Israel in that first dimensional projecting. But oh, my brother, if you can understand, if you can just understand, I say this so often to try to get it over, if you can understand. See, where is the tribulation period? Where is the tribulation period? There in that sixth seal. When that sixth seal went like it did, and all of a sudden the Bible said, and the heavens opened up, and the scroll rolled open. And the heavens opened as a scroll. Where could that be? It couldn't be anywhere but Calvary. Why is that? Because the veil was rent in twain. The veil was rent in twain. You say, what do you mean, rent in twain? You know what I mean. The Lord separated from the Christ. The Lord separated from the Christ. What does that mean? The child taken from the womb. The child taken from the womb. Well, the Bible said he made within himself twain. And there he made within himself both Lord and Christ. And as he hung at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. And the separation of the Lord and the Christ took place. And the Lord was laid down to rest. The Lord was laid down to rest, and the Christ ascended up on high. The Christ, I wish we had time to preach tonight, but the Christ ascended up on high. The Christ ascended up on high. You know, my beloved brother, sister, you know what happened when that child was born? Oh, you know what happened when that child was born? There, when that, you know, at the breach, When the birth comes, and I say this in all godliness, as I know how, I've said it before. When the opening of the matrix comes, then the firstborn is called holy unto God. Why? Because the breaking forth of the head is the travail. There is nobody that can help. The woman is travailing, travailing, travailing. No one can help. Jesus didn't have no one to help. My dear beloved brother, sister, he had to do it alone. God said, I searched through heaven and I looked everywhere for a man. I looked for a woman. I looked for someone to help. There was no one. Oh, and then he said, I'll have to do it all by myself. Travailing because no one, even the physicians cannot help. Because the moment of that travail to bring forth the headship, Calvary had to bring forth Jesus. Had to bring forth Jesus. Amen. After that headship broke forth, broke through the spheres of this world. Yonder the headship of that babe, that many-membered body, is that Christ broke forth into the heavens. All of the angelic host of heaven rejoiced because there in that great city, that great world, the head of that child had broke through. And the physicians of heaven and the angelic beings, along with those seven angelic messengers, begin to work with the membership of that body fervently down through the church ages, bringing forth another member. And oh, that lovely body of the Son of God began to break forth church age after church age. And every messenger that sound came forth another great part of that body. And a great message and revelation and inspiration began to break forth as the revelation of Christ Jesus came. Another part of the shoulders. And then it came. And oh, glory to God, the fuss was made. The Christ child was being born. The last part of it that parallels with the image when finally the 10 toes came. Amen. Over in the end time. Hallelujah. And the birth came. And the church ages was to be closed out. And oh, the swaddling, the washing, the cleansing, the purging, the purifying, the picking up from the muddle and the mess. And oh, all of that. All of that. And I hope you'll look at this holy. All of that which comes after the birth. Which is called after the birth. All of that.
Praise God.
The mick, the muck, the mess. All of that. He brought it out in a scientific way. When we spoke of the placenta. And all of the scientific elements. How that it comes in the tribulation. The tribulation. The tribulation. The killing. All of those people are after the birth. All of those people that are in their blood, all of those people that are in the mucky mess, rotting. Where he said, come to my supper. All the fowls of heaven that comes to feed upon that which is afterwards. Afterwards, all of that. But oh, that child is swaddled. And any dad that's ever had a little son to come forth, oh, he can't wait to get in there and get that little fellow. My God, the minute he can get that little fella in his arms, he just feels like something. God reached down and said, come on, home, Jesus. Hallelujah. He grabbed him up into his arms. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation, the minute he was born, he was caught up to the throne. He was a royal child from that very minute. God saying, this is mine. And thou, O son, thy ministry is forever. A priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Even from everlasting to everlasting. All of them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. Great light is spring up unto you. All of this greatness of that child being born. What is it? The tribulation period at Calvary. That's where your tribulation period sets in. You say, Brother Pike, where do you get that? Look at the dark age. Just as quick as that thing started happening, the woman goes into the twilight sleep. Isn't that right? When Israel comes up out of Egypt over the Red Sea, which is the breaking of the blood, the child goes into the wilderness. Isn't that right? Then going over, here it is again. We see it in the dark age again. We see it first coming from Egypt, going over to Canaan by the way of the Jordan. Then we see it again as we watch and look from Calvary over the Red Sea over through the dark ages and the Jordan of death. At the end of it, when it spoke of that horse, that pale horse rider, then going over the Jordan. Then we see it again. Here it comes again in the 7 years of the tribulation period. All going through it again. There through the dark ages, the woman went into the twilight as the little one was born. Oh, what a day when she wakes up. What a happy moment. For the Bible said, there shall no more be remembered the anguish of travail and sorrow and misery and shame in that a man child has been born. What a glorious moment. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I travail until Christ be formed within you, even Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have no hope of glory lest he be within you. He's the only hope. And the church world of today, heavy with child, the last moment, bringing forth the taxing, all. But you know what? I see something at this moment. We've been preaching heavy with child because it was that way. But oh my brother, that man child is fixing to be caught up. Thessalonians, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet God, so shall they ever be with the Lord. That breaking forth, the end of that last siege of Satan, the end of the last bit of working. But we who have our eyes open, we who are children of light and not children of darkness, why is it that we don't understand that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Why don't we understand who we are? Why is it that we can't rejoice? Are we going to let somebody throughout the world that doesn't even know what they're doing tear us down and break us down and make us miserable and move you from the great and mighty God of heaven and of earth that has established you, rooted you, and grounded you in the truth? Are you going to let some frivolous little nothing throw you for a loop and break your heart, tear you down and cause you to lose your crown and step aside? Oh, my brother, the Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established. Yes, not to be blown about by every doctrine of wind. You can't help anybody unless you're established, unless you're rooted and grounded. If you don't know who you are and what you are and what you're doing, how are you going to help anybody else? My brother, when people look at you, they've got to know that you know what you're doing. And if they don't know, they can't trust you because they're afraid you might get them out into the deep and lose them. But oh, beloved brother, sister, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that. And we look and we say, what is it? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revealing of the Son of God. The bringing forth of the mysterious Son of God. For great is the mystery of godliness, for God himself, God, the great Spirit, has been manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, caught up into heaven, personified in the human body. Great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of that mystery. The tribulation period. How many understand it? Calvary setting in. Can anybody then come forth through the tribulation? Of course they can come forth through the tribulation. But my brother, who wants to go forth through the tribulation? Even those that be sealed shall come forth through the tribulation. I wish we had time to take it. We have got it on tape somewhere. But to take it step by step, to show that through the tribulation period, what will be the changes? The everlasting gospel be preached to them that dwell on the earth. And the sealing of the 144,000 and passing through the wrath of Antichrist and the woman being sealed. And I say this again, and I hope we can absorb it. When that woman birthed that child, what happened to the woman? She went into a wilderness. She went into a wilderness. Now give me just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. I want to say this again. Where did the woman go? Did Calvary bring forth a child? The headship. The headship. The headship. What does the woman do? The headship. Why is that? He appears saying, I have engraven thee in the palms of my hands that I might not forget thee. Where did you get the wounds in the house of my friends? They loved me so much they nailed me to Calvary. They crucified me. Why did they do that? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for their sins. There had to be a lamb of sacrifice. If they're going to feed off of something, something had to die. Something had to die. And I was the chosen one to die. Therefore, he said, drink of this. This is my blood. Eat of this. This is my flesh. There's going to be a lamb. There's going to be a Passover. We're going to get over the Jordan. We're going to get over sin. We're going to get over death. For to be carnally minded is death, beloved. It comes from the fall of the garden of the tree of knowledge. But we got to get over it. It's death. We got to get over it. Are you getting over it? Are you getting over the Jordan? Are you getting over the Jordan? If you don't get over it, they'll put you in a box. They'll put you in a hole. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Some of us shall get over the Jordan. Are you getting over the lust of the flesh? Are you mortifying the deeds of the body? Are you killing out the desire of your flesh, the lust of your flesh? Are you developing the mind of Christ? Are you transforming your mind to the mind of Christ Jesus? Are you getting over the Jordan? Are you planning to make the translation? You got to get over the Jordan. There's only one way to get over the Jordan. That crooked serpentine course of the Jordan that runs down as a boundary line over in the Holy Land, emptying itself into the Dead Sea, the lake of fire. You've got to get past that old tree of knowledge, that old intellectual reasoning, that stream of weariness that Satan follows from the fall in the garden. A crooked, a perverse generation of, you know, God likened people to waters. A stream of wretchedness. You've got to get over it. Can you get over it? If you don't want to die, you've got to. You've got to. So then, the woman going into the wilderness, what does it mean? Oh, I wish we had time. You know, I hate to start into these things because we never have time to get into them, really. Never. You just can't do it. You can't do it. It takes hours to get into them. You just bring just enough just to stir the people up. But listen. Try to listen just a minute or two. I say again, the blood on the mercy seat, the blood of atonement, the blood that's on the mercy seat, as long as it's there, everything is all right. As long as the blood is on the mercy seat, it's all right. Because there'll be grace, there'll be rain on the just and the unjust. As long as the blood is on the mercy seat, that is the atonement of Jesus Christ, the vesture dipped in blood, as long as it's been resurrected, sitting at the right hand of God, everything's all right. Mercy on the just, the unjust. But my brother, when that angel grabs that censer, walks up to that little golden altar, drops the coals, them heated coals of the words of God's judgment, releases the prayers of the saints as sweet-smelling incense that was made as that perfume in the Old Testament that nobody could make any like. Not a hypocrisy, but a real genuine. And it begins, and he takes it, and he throws it into the earth, and the lightning and the thundering start. The silence in heaven for 30 minutes. Everything stands in awe because the blood is coming off of the mercy seat. What is it? Revelation 19, getting ready to ride. The blood of the atonement, that great vesture, dipped in blood, is fixing to move off of the mercy seat, fixing to come back to earth. Momentarily we see the moving. And he says, there as he reveals himself, where did you get the nail prints? In the houses of my friends. In the houses of my friends. And somebody screams out, an angel cries out, loud and clear up in heaven, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and forever and forever. The blood off of the mercy seat. The blood off of the mercy seat. What is it? The red dragon kicked out. Are you listening now? When the red dragon is kicked out, that's when the man child goes up to the third heaven. And I say this again, as quickly, as hurriedly, as clearly as I know how. The outer courts, the inner courts, the holies of holies. Are you following me? The outer courts, the holy place, the most holy place. Are you following me? The first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, Old Testament, New Testament, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The third mind, the mind of man, the mind of Satan, the mind of God, caught up into the third heaven, the third heaven. The church is in that second mind where man's mind and Satan's mind intermingles together. That's the second heaven. That's the second heaven. That's the second mind. That's a holy place. Even Aaron's sons could go in there. They could go in there. But oh, beloved friend, Paul said, I was caught up into that place. Wasn't lawful for me to speak the things that I spoke or wanted to speak. That is, that can be spoke to us today. Unlawful, but I was caught up into that place. But this child that was to come forth, oh, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Well, there's a child that's going to be caught up to the third heaven. What heaven? The mind of Christ. What mind of Christ? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And the red dragon went out because the woman was in the second heaven. Between heaven and earth hung Jesus. The second heaven. I say this again. If Jesus in righteousness is going this way, and Daniel's prayers is going this way, and from over here come the powers of Satan, the middle wall of petition, intervening, then there's got to be a cross. Righteousness and light crossing darkness. As we said about Shepherd, that door open in heaven, breaking through a cross. A cross. God crossing the kingdom of Satan. For in that second heaven, that second realm, what is that second heaven? That second heaven was what God had given man. God gave man that second heaven. He gave it to him back there in the Garden of Eden. But he couldn't hold it. Why? Because Satan had access to it. Satan climbed up there to it. And Satan took it away from man. And Satan rules between heaven and earth. The son of the morning. Up there blackmailing God. Blackmailing God. By holding his children in captivity to where God can't get to them. Oh, you say that can't be, Brother Pike. It's happening. Happening. The babes held in captivity. And God can't get to them because Lucifer, the son of the morning, sets there upon the ridge of the earth. But the red dragon going out. What is it? The woman in the travail when the child is born. Jesus between heaven and earth. But that Christ going on up to the third heaven. Oh, hallelujah. But in that second heaven, the battle and the travail, and Jesus went out, and out went Lucifer. Out went Lucifer. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I have abolished death within my body, he said. I have abolished death. I've done away with the tree of knowledge. I've crossed over the Jordan, over the Red Sea of Calvary, down through the wilderness of the grave and over the Jordan of death as he conquers the grave. Coming out, Jesus ascending up on high, the child into the third heaven. The child into the third heaven, Lucifer goes out. And I say again, what is Lucifer? A generation of vipers, the bloodstream, the blood life. That old life of union, that old life of reproduction, that old beast life. Going out, going out. Blood life, no more grace. What is second heaven? Grace. Grace is the second heaven. What is the second heaven? Grace to the Gentiles. What is the first one? To the Jews back there. But what is the second one? To the Gentiles. Grace. Grace, but grace is about to be over. And when grace is over, the second heaven is open. Is that right? The second heaven is over. That means that Lucifer, the spirit of darkness, the spirit of carnality, the spirit of evil, the spirit of lust, the thoughts of wickedness, cannot live in the heart and in the bloodstream anymore in grace. As long as there's grace, Lucifer can live in a human being, and he's in the second heaven. And the woman's in that same second heaven in travail. But my brother, sister, when grace is over, there will be no grace over humanity. There will be no grace over humanity. The woman will find herself in the wilderness for 3.5 years, a place prepared for her. The woman will be there. The church world will be there, but not that man child. Not that man child. He's going to make that third change, the revelation of Jesus Christ, and conquer death. Amen. Right over that tribulation period. Caught up as that ark of Noah was to ride over them 7 years of tribulation. Cut down the tree, let 7 times pass over it. Amen. Then let it grow again. And over there on the other side, bringing that life back to sit down upon the throne of David. For the man child was caught up to the throne that is over the tribulation to sit down in the throne of David in the millennium. There it is, riding over the tribulation period in the darkness. Why? Because Lucifer, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. And Lucifer coming out of the heavens, no more grace over the blood life, the red dragon, the blood life, a crooked generation. No more grace to protect the spirit of error that lives within the human heart. And all of them that have been changed in the glorified form, excelling the second heaven, going up into the revelation of Jesus Christ, into the rapture, into the presence of God, into the grace of God, that not the grace of God, but the righteousness of God, into that great translated place. Grace is just about over. Grace is just about over. The travail is just about over. The birth. The church has come to the birth. And everything is just about over. All of the revelation of Christ Jesus shows it's just about over. Amen. It's just about over. We have come to the birth. It's just about over. What are we going to do? Lucifer goes out. Lucifer goes out. The wandering stars, the reflectors, they don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the quickening. Wells without water. Oh, foaming out their own shame every time they try to tell you something. Those raging waves foaming out their own shame. Those stars, they don't have any light. They just reflect your light. But oh, beloved friend, they can dance and they can shout. They can be healed. They can receive grace. They can take the goodies. And the ministers of Satan can stand up and by the transforming of their minds be renewed by transforming their minds by preaching the word of God. Transforming their minds into the words of light. And preach to you the same thing. Ministers of Satan, the goodies, all of the goodies, healing, divine deliverance. And will God do it? Yes. If you believe, if you believe, if you believe, will God do it? He certainly will do it. The rain on the just and on the unjust, the tare drinking it in, the wheat drinking it in. God will have to do it when faith comes. Is that right? But my brother, when grace is lifted, that won't happen anymore. That won't happen anymore. Only the righteous. The healing is for the children. It's the children's bread. Grace is just about over. The blood is coming off of the mercy seat now. Everything's getting ready. Everything's getting ready. All of these people are going to be left. All of a sudden, they're waiting for something to happen. And it's happening all the time. And all of a sudden, they're going to find themselves cold and lifeless like the vision I saw. I looked and I saw the vision. And all of a sudden, everything dried up and everything turned into powder. And the most horrible, weird feeling came over me. And the people faded away. And I heard a voice say, "Too late, too late, too late to preach a sermon," it said. "Too late to write a book." Everything in the earth turned into powder and into dust. And I was so tore up and I was so scared and I was so weary until for many weeks I didn't even tell my wife. The vision tore me up so bad. What is it, brother?
Grace being lifted from the earth, the rain of his refreshing. What is it? What are you talking about? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Where then is the tribulation period? Right there where the woman's at. Right there. Maybe one night we can take up with it and say some more about it. I was going to talk about it and I heard something say, no, preach. I said, all right. Now, grace is coming to the end, my beloved brother, sister. It's coming to the end. Maybe you believe what I say, maybe you don't. But nevertheless, grace is coming to the end. When grace is over, you'll be sitting there just like you are now. People will be in the world just like they always was. They won't know till the flood takes them away. They won't know anything's happened till all of a sudden it's gone. It's gone. Grace will be gone. The blood will be off of the mercy seat. The red dragon will be cast out. It will happen. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean that has to do with us? I wish we had time to go into it and pinpoint it. How do you know that we can pinpoint it, where it will happen, what time it will happen, at the very time it will take place, so that you'll know exactly? Right down to the very pinpoint. Tell you just exactly because he told me. But I tell you this much. It's time for you and I to do something. It's time for you and I to begin to believe. It's time for us to do something. Okay, let's stand together. We introduced a lot of thoughts tonight in trying to make a point. But most of the things that we introduced in one way or another are cleared up to some extent on tapes that we have preached at other times. So I know that some of you can clear it up if you want to listen. It is a great hour. My, what a great hour. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. What a great hour. Let's sing a little song together, can we? I saw some things taking place today. All Brother Bob Wells and myself and some of the other brethren were out here in the bank. We were discussing a few things and the great spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ and the mind of God was present. As God began to speak and the unveiling was so beautiful, as I began to watch the wonderful things, Jesus said, seeing always the things that my Father does, God being a spirit, seeing him through the eyes of understanding, always beholding whatever my Father does. You know, we are the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Therefore, we see always what the Father does through the eyes of our understanding, being led up by the Spirit, always seeing what our Heavenly Father does. And I was watching him as he'd done those beautiful things. It was so beautiful. And I looked over across the way, and all of a sudden I become aware that Brother Denny McLean, he's not here tonight, I don't think. But he was, oh yes, here he is up here. Brother Denny McLean, all of a sudden the revelation struck him and he began to see what the Father was doing. And I looked and his eyes filled up with tears. And I could tell he'd had just about as much as he could take. Just a little bit more, he would have really just bawled right out. It was just filling him up. But I saw that he had seen. Always seeing what the Father does, it is so beautiful that it breaks you up so when it begins to move and begins to talk to you. And you begin to look and you begin to see and something inside says, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I don't see this with my natural eyes, and yet I see it. It is there. Oh, my God. And then you become broke up. The fountains of the deep becomes broke up then. And your cup begins to run over. All the fountains of the deep becomes broke up. But most of the time, God will do that. Like I told Brother Denny, I said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I've been sitting around. We've been talking all of a sudden. I would look and see what the Father was doing. And I'd look over and there would sit Brother Gary. And I'd see Brother Gary like that. And the tears would fill his eyes. And I'd say, Brother Gary, you saw it, didn't you? Brother Gary said, I saw it. And just like it takes your breath away. In the mouth of two witnesses. Always doing that, two or three witnesses, to confirm the fact that he's moving. As it was back there when he walked on the way with them to Emmaus. And they said,
Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures by the way? Always unveiling, always talking to us by the way, always enlightening our understanding was what they were trying to say there. Always seeing what the Father does because you are his beloved sons and daughters. Let us so walk circumspectively in the world that the world can do as it was said in Paul's day. Where does he use the terms, your faith is spoken of throughout the world? Let our faith be spoken of throughout the world. Let's be of such great caliber people that we shine a light throughout the world, for ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Oh, to think that it brings eternal life, eternal youth, eternal strength. It brings eternal wealth. It brings eternal riches, power, great might. And I say this to you again, beloved friend, not only that, not only are ye sons and daughters of God, which are princes and prince, you're great prince of God, but the Bible teaches that there shall be kings. And I say this again, 24 kings, as the elders sit around him and throw their crowns down. For Revelation said, he hath made us priests and kings unto our God. Ye are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. And the 12 apostolic leaders, he said, shall sit upon 12 thrones. More kings and other kings sitting upon the thrones. And the kings of the earth shall bring the glory and the praise and honor of the great people and their royal, royal praise and majesty into that great city and into the gates of that great city to bow down at his royal loving feet. For if he be the King of kings, then where are the kings? Oh, there's going to be some kings because he's got to be the King of all of them. The great King of kings. Don't you want to be one of them? That song says, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Let's sing that song together. Let's sing the song, I Love Him. Can we sing it together? If you really love him, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Worship God in spirit, for God is a spirit, and God seeketh such to worship him. Jesus told a woman one time at the well, the woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet, sir. And then as he began to talk with her, you know, Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward, which I've said so many times. What that means is that you can receive a man. As a man, you receive a man's reward. But if you perceive, that woman perceived that he was a prophet. She said, I'm going to accept you as a prophet. You are a prophet. And her faith in a prophet caused that anointing of a prophet to begin to minister to her. If you receive a prophet as a prophet, that is in the name of a prophet. You've got to receive him as a prophet if he's a prophet. If he's an evangelist, receive him as an evangelist. You receive an evangelist's reward. If he's got a gift, receive it. Whatever it is, it'll work. She said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And all of a sudden, that prophetical thing began to work. She received him as a prophet in the name of a prophet. And she began to receive a prophet's reward, which was that great, wonderful power of God and the spirit and understanding that was put in him by God. And he began to talk with her. And he began to tell her, woman, you might worship in the mountain. He said, but there's coming a time, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and God seeketh such to worship him. Today we are God's vessel to worship the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Oh, do like Mary done. Mary with all of her virtue and purity. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these, be holy. Don't try to just get by with everything you can. Don't do that, children of God. Don't do that. Don't grieve God. You know, just try to get as much of the world as you can and just get out as far in the world as you can and just hold on enough to say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to make it. Don't do that. You rob yourself of all the beauties of being with God. All the powers, the splendor, and the pleasure. Get into the virtue. Get into the loveliness. Get into the pureness of God. Get into the richness of God. And embrace his great loving virtue. And be holy. Be pure. Be royal. Be godly. And watch his spirit just come and woo you. And you'll just be caught away in it like it was. And over there when Ezekiel, he just reached around, you know, in the spirit like that. And he just yielded himself. And the spirit reached around and said, whew. And all of a sudden up went Ezekiel. And the spirit said, whew. and over to the valley of dry bones went Ezekiel. And Peter screamed out, "Oh, if that be you, Lord, tell me to come." And the Spirit said, whoosh. And Peter said, whoosh, right over to Jesus. Just like when he stood there on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible said he breathed upon him and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And the Holy Ghost fell upon him and they began to receive the Holy Ghost. The real true breath of life. Not as Adam and Eve a breath of life, but the real Holy Ghost. The true eternal breath of life for the eternal man. God, just get in there with God and yield yourself until it's no more you. And you just feel woozy in him. And you just feel caught away in him. And you feel in that state of ecstasy in him. And all of a sudden you'll golf in a trance. I've been like that. I've been there at times. I've even been behind the pulpit when it would happen to me. I've been here in this tabernacle when you wouldn't be aware of it. When all of a sudden I'd be caught away. I say, Oh God, this is so wonderful. You know, you get caught away and I've been sitting at home in a chair. And all of a sudden I'd be there and say, oh, hallelujah. Oh, it'll be so wonderful. Be caught away, and then I'd begin to look. And as I begin to look, I'd fall into a trance and I'd begin to see something. As a matter of fact, this happened on the day that I saw your mother's death. Many miles away in Illinois, sitting there in Tennessee or Mississippi in that chair. And I went off into that and I looked. And there it was. Get caught away in it. Get caught away in him. Get in him and let him get in you. And let's be spiritual. And let's yield our bodies and our souls and our lives to him. And all of a sudden, your thoughts won't be your thoughts anymore. Your thoughts won't be your thoughts anymore. Your thoughts won't be your thoughts anymore. They'll be his thoughts. And the thing that you'll be thinking will be the thoughts of their heart. For the Bible said he perceived the thoughts of their heart in his spirit. And you'll be so full of the Spirit that your spirit will be perceiving the thoughts of their heart. And everything that they know, you'll know. Because you'll just walk right into their minds, into their lives, into their hearts. Have you ever walked into anybody's life and heart? I've walked right into their life, into their minds, into their heart. And know what they was thinking and know what they was going to do. Just walk right into them. Right into them. Jesus just walked right through the wall. Right through the wall. Right through the wall. Just get spiritual. Be spiritual. And then the thoughts that you get, all of a sudden it won't be your thoughts, it'll be his thoughts using your brain. You know the message we preach on the three minds? All of a sudden his mind will be using your brain instead of your mind. Sometimes you let Satan's spirit use your brain. Many times your spirit uses your brain. But let his spirit use your brain. Cleanse your spirit and let him work through your spirit and use your brain. Let God use it. Let God program it. It'll be so beautiful when you do. It'll be so beautiful when you do. I long for the day when my people become spiritual here. A lot of times I go out into the heathenistic fields. And those people are not spiritual. But because they esteem God so great. And they're afraid of God. And they sit back so afraid of God. And they esteem it be so great. That faith just gets so high. That you can just walk right in through them. Just walk right in through them. All for the day when we believe. When we believe. Okay, let's sing "I Love You."
I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me, and deeper just my salvation on Calvary's tree. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel him. The Bible said as Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling on me. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling on some of you right now. Some of you are believing because I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you. Now let's sing it again. I love him. That you could believe. Love him. Because he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Lift your hands up and let's love Jesus tonight. Now let's love Jesus tonight. If you love Jesus, tell Jesus that you love Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. For I have not I said unto you, love one another, Jesus said. Love one another. Love one another. No greater love hath any man than this, than he should lay down his life for a friend. From henceforth I have called you friends. And have not I, Jesus said, laid down my life for you? Then ought not ye to lay down your life for the brethren? To love one another. Paul said to love one another so, he would have plucked out your eyes for me. What love, my brother. To love one another is the body of Jesus. Oh, I feel you trying to believe tonight. I feel you trying to believe tonight. But oh, that you could believe. Oh, that you could believe. Some of you, every now and then, you'll strike that horizon of faith. You'll reach that horizon of faith. You'll tiptoe and touch it. But oh, beloved friend, if we could believe, if we really could believe tonight, how beautiful to get over the Jordan of the carnal and intellectual doubts. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Jesus loves you. I remember him rolling a wheelchair case out. And this woman was in the wheelchair. And we kept talking. And all of a sudden I walked over and spoke to her in the name of the Lord. And I told her God loved her. And I spoke to her in the name of the Lord. And told her God had healed her and she could get up. And she began to struggle and twist. And all of a sudden she began to come out of the wheelchair. And she'd come out of the wheelchair. And begin to walk around and begin to praise God. And the glory of heaven begin to fall all around the hillside. Why? Because she just believed God, that's all. She just believed God, that's all. To believe Jesus, if thou canst believe. The little woman in Mexico, I'll never forget as we stood there. Through the interpreter, talking to her. When I said, spoke to her about Peter and the faith in God. When we was holding the meeting there in the Bull Arena. Faith in God, and spoke to the little woman that God had healed her and her little old feeble hand come up. Hadn't been up for many months off of the little old bitty cot. There, skin and bones. And the Lord is my witness that I put my fingers together just like that and slipped it up and down the muscular part of her arm. She was that small in the muscular part of her arm. But when we told her God had healed her, she got up in the name of the Lord and she began to walk. People began to weep. My wife began to weep with all of her heart. And the woman said, I feel unusually strong. And she came out in that afternoon service in the hot blistering sun. I said, sister, you'll be out there to testify for God. They told me she could not come out to that Bull Arena when I asked them to bring her. And I had to go there and pray for her. But I said, you'll come out there, watch and see. And that evening, or whenever it was, she come walking out there in her own strength. Sat down out there and listened to me preach the sermon in that hot blistering sun. And then walked over and took the mic and testified to the glory of God. And the Spirit of God began to move, and I prayed for people and mothers crying with little babies until I almost passed out. There was such a hot blistering sun and so many people wanted to be prayed for. All because of faith in God. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Went into that hospital and stood there. They wouldn't even let us go into the room where the woman was that was dying with tuberculosis. And the pastor tore all to pieces, begging us to pray for her. They wouldn't even let us get in the room, and we just got to the door. And I called to her, and she was so pitiful, and we prayed. And I said, sister, I feel God moving. I feel the power of God. I said, I feel him healing you right now. I feel him healing you right now. I said, will you believe it? Will you accept it? And God moved and completely healed her. And within the next day or two, they sent word, come to the hospital. We went up. She was sitting there and she said, glory to God. No more tubes. No more TB. Said, God has healed me, Brother Pike, and they're releasing me. God did it. And Brother Owens, remember when his daddy was dying, they said he was dying with cancer over yonder.
And we went over there and they didn't want to let us in, but we went in. Finally got in and went into the room, and he was laying there on the bed. And he began to cry when we walked into the room. And when we walked in, I felt the Holy Ghost just go through the room like that. And God began to move. And he looked up at me and began to weep. And I looked over at him and I said, oh. And I called his name. And I said, brother, God loves you. I said, God sent me here. I said, God has healed you. I said, I felt him come into this room and healed you. I said, I felt him do it. It's the truth, so help me God. I said, I felt him do it. And the man began to weep and accepted it. And I believe it was the very next day. He hadn't been able to eat anything and keep it down. He immediately began to eat. The next day, I believe he got up and went into the library or something like that. And they dismissed him from the hospital. And he went on and lived his life out. And when he finally died, I understand it wasn't a trace of cancer anywhere. And I believe they said he was all the way down, eat up all the way down. God, because of his goodness. And like the report of the sister tonight said that God had healed her. Many multiplied things, I remember, when we prayed for the little boy. And God straightened up his little crooked eye to where his little eye could be straight. And today it's still, the boy lives not far from here. He's a grown boy. His eye is still perfectly straight today as a witness and a testimony. Another little boy that God straightened up his eye. There's a picture in the book here around on the campground. And the many wonderful things that God has done here and around the country, we could go on and on and on and write a big book. Concerning the wonderful healings and the blessings of God. I remember the woman in Macon when we were fasting and seeking God. She'd been to the hospital. They'd found the spots on her lungs. And we prayed for her. Went there while we was fasting and prayed for her. And I said, I felt God heal you. She went back and they checked her with the x-rays and said, the spots are gone. The Lord in his wonderful blessings, healing, always doing something wonderful, not just miracles of healing, but miracles, financial miracles, miracles of deliverance of devils being cast out. Many wonderful things that God has done right here. People in intensive care and things that had happened. And when we walked into the hospital, when Brother Floyd Owens had the heart attack, when we walked in there and prayed for him, and I said, Floyd, I felt God heal you. I felt your faith go up to God, and God healed you. And Floyd got up from there in just a little while, and he's been getting along fine ever since. Brother John Jameson that crumbled down over here that night when I was preaching faith, crumbled down over here, and we reached over here and picked him up and rebuked the devil in Jesus' name. And John was dying over there, and John got up and stood on his feet and didn't bother him anymore. Brother John Lane's daughter, when she walked in down yonder in Centerville, and that I believe she'd had that leaf hung in there for about, was it 12 years, John, or 7 years? Been hung down in there, and he'd never been able to even pick it up with the x-rays. It was hung down in there, and when we was preaching on the God of Elijah and God delivering, and all of a sudden standing there, she coughed that leaf up, and it come up all because she believed the Lord always wanting to do something for us. Miracles, just speaking the word, saying things. When we made the prediction and said, God said that they would move my brother's body from that cemetery over yonder in Memphis, Tennessee. God said it will be moved from over there after 13 long years, was it? And it will be moved to the cemetery over here, that he had placed it in the cemetery. And when they called over there and Brother Owens went over there, the health department said, you cannot move his body. They called back and said, you cannot move his body. I said, I don't care what the health department said. God said it will be moved. It will be moved and be placed in these grounds out here. And it wasn't but a few hours before the whole thing was changed around. They moved it, took it up, and it's laying out there today in the grounds. It don't matter what the health department says or anybody else. If God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen, my brother. It's going to happen. The grace is coming off, or the blood is coming off of the atonement seat. God is doing some wonderful things. What are we doing? What are we doing? Are you praying for the ministry to go around the world? Are you interested in world evangelism? Winning souls, are you? Paul one time said, my much revelation. Let's sing one more chorus and we'll let you go. See, I'm saying, what are we going to do with Jesus? What are we going to do with Jesus? How do you believe the time is near? The time is near. Now don't forget the meetings up in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and Canada, and the different places where we're trying to do something. Don't forget them. We're trying to do a little something for God. You pray with us and help us, and you'll be partakers of our benefit. Let's sing and praise God together now. Let's sing this song. Give me another kiss. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Can you sing it with me? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. I wonder if you'd like to step out tonight as Brother John did tonight. Brother Bill, just step down here to renew your covenant with God. Brother John Lane, a wonderful man of God to me. I don't know of anybody I got more confidence in than I have John. John's had his ups and downs, and I've had mine, but I really believe he loves Jesus. I'm convinced of that. He was telling me this evening that he's going to start a work over in Macon, Georgia. And in starting a work in Macon, it'll be a great, wonderful opportunity for you and for me and for the other evangelists and different ones that wants to fellowship John. It'll be a wonderful thing. And other ministers, different places, are now wanting to start works and be affiliated with Little Bethlehem, whereas we said this would happen a long time ago, and like a flower, it would begin to put out its petals. And they want to be affiliated, and we want to be a brotherhood, and we want to do something for Jesus, not only here, but in the foreign fields of mission endeavor. We want to do it. They ask over in Israel, the brother said, can I be part of the work of Little Bethlehem? They ask over in the other foreign fields, can I be part of the work of Little Bethlehem? And different ones want to be part of it. And we need people that love God. We need women. We need men. You know, Paul had women workers. He said, salute my women workers in Christ. There are men workers. There are women workers. They labor together. And we need helps and governments in the church. And we need preachers and evangelists, those that love Jesus, to go out and tell the glad tidings of great joy. The hour of deliverance is here. The wonderful, great, and mighty hour of deliverance is here. And we can have the glorious deliverance of God. If we want it in our lives, we can have it, brother, sister. We can have it tonight. We can have it. I want you to slip your hands up tonight, if you will. Can you slip your hands up tonight? Now, as we pray with you and pray for you, I want you to believe tonight. Don't make it hard for God. Oh, beloved friend, there is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing too hard for God. As the angel said when Sarah laughed, is there anything too hard for God? Oh, brother, sister, is there anything too hard for God? Oh, you say, Brother Pike, God could never reach them people I've been affiliated with. Oh, brother, God can do anything. God could never reach my brother, my sister, my hardened mother and daddy, my neighbor. Oh, I remember when my brother Junior, his mind was the farthest from the things of God. And it looked like that at that time he and his companion would never come to God. But oh, tonight his wife stands here with her hands raised to God, loving Jesus. Tonight Junior loves Jesus with all of his heart. You know why? We prayed. We prayed. You prayed. I ask you to pray. We prayed. Oh, brother, something happened. Something happened. When I told Bill, I said, Bill, God's going to deal with your dad. It seemed so hopeless, but something happened, and God has been dealing with Bill's dad, and there's been a respond. And tonight, Brother Ron's brother is here from California when it looked hopeless. When there was no way to even touch his heart. But he's been here in the service. He was over at the tent last night. Oh, my brother, pray and believe. Pray and believe. It doesn't matter what it is. Pray and believe. Believe. Let your faith go out to God. Just believe. Just say, my God, I'm so weary of trying to figure it out. I'm so weary, God. I'm so weary of holding back and half-heartedly believing and hearing my brain and my thoughts say, you don't believe, you can't believe. God, whether I believe or don't believe, or no matter what my thoughts tell me, I'm going to believe with all my heart. I don't care what my thoughts keep telling me. I'm just going to fall on the mercy of God and say, glory to God, I'm here. I'm your case, God, I'm here. I feel the Holy Ghost and I feel people believe in God tonight. I'm going to believe you, God. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you, God. Hallelujah. And just tell God what you want tonight. Decree it in your heart, and I promise you in the name of Jesus it will come to pass. I promise you, no matter how hard it is, it'll come to pass. I promise you, say, Brother Pike, it can't be. But I promise you in the name of Jesus that you'll come and witness to me. And you'll say, my God, Brother Pike, it happened just the way you said. It'll happen, so help me God, it'll happen. Just accept it tonight. Believe it tonight. Believe it tonight. Let's love him tonight while they're playing on the organ. Let's just believe him. Lift our hands up and close our eyes. And let's sing this with our hands lifted and our eyes closed. Let's sing it together, can we? Only believe. Can you sing with me? Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.